little bit of an abbreviated show here today. Got Browns and Cowboys football coming up starting at 11:30. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV morning news, though, I will be talking with Laura Dern, actress Laura Dern. She's the producer of a new movie called The Way I See It, which is a very interesting look at the official White House photographer for both President Reagan and President Obama. Talk about somebody, you know, two people who are quintessentially Republican, quintessentially Democrat. Pete Souza is this amazing photographer's name. There's a brand new movie about his life and career. Laura Dern produced the movie. We'll talk with both Pete and Laura Dern all tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News, but also tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, you will see for the first time on the Big Number 9, Ray Cortopassi, who will become the new co-anchor of the WGN Evening News at 5 and 6, the WGN News at 9 and 10, alongside Micah Mater. And it's a pleasure to have Ray joining us this morning here on WGN Radio. Hello there, my friend, and welcome. Nice to have you with us. Welcome back home to you, because you are truly one of Chicago's very own as well.
What a journey it has been, Dean. And can I say what a thrill it is to be on your show? This is not the first time I've been on WGN Radio. I remember back in the day, I used to listen to Roy Leonard, and I would call in on his show
really?
And chat with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of a full circle moment for me. And to hear you describe my joining the team, I was pretty sure it was real before you said it, but when you shared it live on the air, boy, that was kind of a nice moment for me. So thanks for giving me that.
I can 1,000% relate to how you must be feeling. When I got hired at WGN television first, actually, before WGN radio, and I was walking down that long hallway back, you know, to the newsroom, I stopped for a moment, because when I was in fourth grade, I went to Edward Cole School on the South Side, South Shore neighborhood, and we went on a field trip all the way to the North Side. It seemed like a weekend trip we were going on, one of those brown buses, all the way to the North Side, to 2501 West Bradley Place, to attend the Bozo Show. And I, as I was walking in my first day working at WGN, standing in that hall, just imagining, little 10-year-old Dean stood right there in line, waiting to see Bozo, and now here I'm working here. Someone has made a terrible mistake. Something terrible.
Well, Dean, did you have designs on a career? Were you one of those young men and women who knew from the time that they were out of the cradle that they were destined for a life in television, or was that dream born for you walking down that long hallway?
Well, it was, you know, my mom always told the story of how when I was a little kid, I would be, while everybody else was outside playing baseball, I would be down in the basement playing radio DJ. So, you know, I had the bug somehow early on. But here's what I love. In Ray's bio, he talks about growing up in Dalton. Went to Columbia College, got a journalism degree. That's also where I got my degree, by the way, Columbia College. Ray's parents grew up in Roseland. His dad worked at U.S. Steel Southworks. Mom was a piano teacher, worked from the home in Dalton. Here's the part of your bio that I love the most. Ray woke up to Ray Rayner and ate lunch watching Bozo Circus. This is when I knew I was going to be friends with Ray Cortopassi.
And it was by no means a unique situation. I think every kid in my neighborhood was the same way. When we were little, we woke up watching Ray Rayner and Garfield Goose, for that matter.
Yeah.
And what a spectacular start that was for anybody who enjoyed being entertained and wanted to feel connected to Chicagoland, because I was a sheltered Southsider who didn't really see much of downtown until I was a little bit older.
Same.
And then later the North Side, but it was just a spectacular start. I'll never forget watching Ray Rayner and watching the Bugs Bunny cartoons, and then Ray would come on and have Cuddly Dudley and Chauncey the Duck, and my older brother Mike would get ready to go off to school, and my little brother and I would sit on that couch watching the show, and it was sort of forever ingrained in my mind, and WGN has always loomed large like that, and it's just doesn't seem possible that I get to actually be a part of that auspicious team that means so much to so many, and I can't wait for tomorrow to get here and we start running.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you know, one of the things, like you being born and raised in Chicago, WGN means more to me than just a place where I work. I mean, it's part of my life. It's part of my childhood, you know, part of everything. So to be able to be part of this team and, you know, in a much a sillier way at times on the WGN TV morning news, we have fun, to be able to be one of the main co-anchors, I can just imagine what a mind trip that is for you.
it absolutely is.
Yeah, aside from, you know, growing up with Bozo and all that, and, you know, if that doesn't give you credentials to do the news, I don't know what does. You have been part of the number one news in Indianapolis for quite some time, right?
Yes, I started my career at the same broadcasting umbrella as WGN, the same ownership group. And I have been blessed to be, you know, doing this for a number of years, primarily as a reporter and then later an anchor, both in the evening setting and then later at the Fox station where I'd been broadcasting for the last 11 years. That was a new framework for me, working on a morning newscast, which, as you know, to an even greater degree, there is such an element of news presentation. There is, you know, getting folks ready for the day, with a team that you have come to know over a long period of time, where you have a chance to share your personality and do things that are, you know, sort of off the wall and entertaining. And I think that helped prepare me to see the world in a whole different light and to be able to bring a little bit of that to this next chapter in my life. I don't know that we'll get to do the same crazy, goofy things that you guys do in the morning, but certainly there are trace elements that carry us through. And I feel already an extraordinary level of comfort with Micah and, of course, Tom and Dan. And they have been so welcoming because I got to come in and do a promo shoot a few weeks ago and get to meet the whole team face to face. And what a thrill that was for me. And it gave me a glimpse of what my professional and personal life would be like moving forward. And it gave me such a feeling of peace and comfort. You know, when you're stepping into a role that is so, so important and so critical, to be able to have still that comfortable family atmosphere was really at once calming for me. So I go in tomorrow with so much enthusiasm and excitement, but also a sense of calm. It's sort of a strange place to be in, I guess, when you describe it from the outside. But that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Yet, it's a most extraordinary time with COVID-19 going on and social distancing going on and the way that we're reporting news now, the way that we handle everything. I'm sure you made similar adjustments in Indianapolis earlier this year. We're kind of redefining every single day, aren't we?
It is such a critical time for all those reasons you just described. I can recall being vaulted to an evening position where you're sort of a part of a team that is bringing the news of record of the day. And I began that right before September 11th. And so when that moment sort of shook us to our core, I was already in that anchor chair having to make sense of what was going on moment by moment. And I sort of feel like we're not quite at that point, but it certainly shares some similarities. You know, we have a president whose health is certainly in question right now. Much of our country is divided, whether it's in the political realm or social inequality. And so many people are turning to WGN to sort of help make sense of that all. And so I feel this awesome sense of responsibility, and I'm just so relieved that I have such a great team of people that you watch every day, but also we have such a deep level of talent in our newsroom, whether it's our reporting staff or producers or news writers who already know the dynamics of the city, and they understand what it is that, you know, our friends, our viewers really want to know, and they are able to put it in context. So I'm really grateful that I've got such a team to be able to lean into as I make my way through this familiar place.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in that newsroom a lot over the years because it has been sort of within my strike zone. I've wanted to be able to be a part of this team going back many, many years. So I established a relationship early on in my career as a broadcaster, hoping that one day I would be able to be a part of this. And so here we are at that moment. It's all coalescing at such an important time. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that we do it in a sense of togetherness, not only with our team, but everybody who is part of the extended WGN family.
Yeah, no pressure on you at all coming in at such a slow news week.
I was watching the broadcast at 4 o'clock with Ben and Gaynor doing really a masterful job at walking us through moment by moment what was happening when the president was being airlifted to Walter Reed. And, you know, to know that so many people get their news from us is really an awesome responsibility.
Oh, 11:22, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN with Ray Cortopassi, the new evening news anchor alongside Micah Matera on WGN-TV. This is just for you, Ray, Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. The Christmas classic, if you grew up on WGN and Ray Rayner and Bozo and Garfield Goose. This certainly was a part of our Christmas heritage here in Chicago, that's for sure.
Oh, gosh. You know, I, for the last 11 years, have worked as a broadcaster in Indianapolis, and I've really been blessed to have a great friendship with our evening meteorologist, who at the time is also from Chicago. And guess what? He interned with Tom Skilling for several years, and we would, you know, during our own commercial breaks, would sing the commercial jingles. He would often sing that one from that great TV show. But I can't tell you how many times I would just look over at him and he'd have that look in his eyes and out would come, "Rock-a-bye, your baby."
Oh,
hi, Harry Schmerling, your singing Ford dealer.
Wow. Yeah, so you just earned so much credibility with that reference right there. Harry Schmerling, the singing Ford man.
Wow. Well, it's hard to forget Harry.
Yeah, that's for sure. So
one of two Harrys.
I know you're going to be on tomorrow morning with Bob Surratt, that'll be interesting. I think, are you on at 8:30 tomorrow morning?
I think it's at 8:20. Yeah, so right in that time frame.
Okay, well, I may be on with you then because that's when I do my segment with Bob.
I hope so. I'm going to lean on you to help walk me through that.
Right.
I mean, you guys.
Right.
You know, you've got a great team, and I'm not quite sure what to expect tomorrow.
Here's the thing.
I know my predecessor was a break dancer and did a little of that on the morning show a couple years ago.
Oh, on the TV morning show, yeah. Yes. See, that's the thing that I'm scared about, because you'll be on with Paul Conrad and, you know, the whole gang from TV. And, you know, I cannot be responsible for what may happen during that.
Well, you and I have a relationship now, Dean, and I'm going to look to you to help, you know, be that arm around me as I walk through the unknown there.
Yeah, Southside brothers for sure.
Please.
Also, I'll give you some good, you know, before you go on, I'll give you some good blackmail on everybody, so you know, so they handle you with kid gloves. If they think
leverage is good, leverage is good.
Yeah, if they think that you've got some incriminating stories on them before you start. It can never hurt, you know, that's for sure.
I'll take it.
So on the serious side, Ray, what kinds of news stories do you like to cover? What are the kinds of things? You know, some people like doing investigative, some people like doing human interest stories. Everyone's got, you know, something which really touches their heart in some way or really drives them. What would you say?
You know, in 25 years, Dean, it's the storytelling that I've been lucky enough to do. It really involves the full gamut, whether it has been investigative reporting, as long as there is someone who is at the heart of that story, that is someone that you can relate to in some way, someone that you can feel the struggle that they may be going through, because oftentimes that's what it involves, some sort of conflict. And hopefully through the course of our storytelling, you'll see a resolution. And so my focus is always on the person who is at the heart of that story. And I think I am most gratified when I'm telling stories of people who face some extraordinary challenge. And it is not something that, you know, is something you would necessarily see up on Hollywood shooting a big movie production. But a couple of stories that really resonated for me involves just a number of months ago. There's a high school tennis coach who I had known peripherally. One day, suddenly, he suffered a detached retina. And it was a new affliction for him. And so over the course of time, he suffered, I think, 11 retinal detachments and was gradually losing his eyesight. And this is a young man with a father. He's a father of three young children. And for him to walk through that life-changing crisis was at once a story of inspiration and loss, but also hope, because he somehow found a way to regain his own sense of identity through that difficulty. And here he is now back on the tennis court with the vision that's relegated to just one eye. And it is such a specific problem that he had to overcome. And if you look at the history of storytelling, a lot of those stories sort of came my way because I feel something when I hear stories like that, and I wanted to be able to share them with my audience. So I don't know how you would describe that sort of storytelling, but I guess that would fall in line with feature reporting and sharing the human condition.
Well, I mean, you know, those kind of stories, no matter what adversity one is facing, when they see stories like that, it gives them a little bit of hope that whatever I'm going through, maybe I can get through whatever seems insurmountable to me at the moment also. So, I mean, I find stories like that, you know, tremendously inspiring, because everybody faces some kind of difficulty at one time or another.
So much of the time, you would hope that there is a happy ending. And when we pick up a story, there may not be an immediate happy ending. And so it's something that you have to follow through its course. And it is a great honor to be able to have people let me into their lives to share those very personal and very vulnerable stories. And, you know, we all have those. And that is something that is really worthwhile and gives me a great sense of gratification.
Well, we're looking forward to having you join us tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. I apologize in advance for anything that may occur during your visit with our show.
I guess I will say apology accepted in advance.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can make that work, but I'm looking forward to it. I have been watching the morning hijinks. I cannot believe some of the things that you guys get away with doing, but somehow you walk that line. You deliver the news, you deliver entertainment, and it is, you make it look so easy, but having been a part of it for so many years, I know it ain't easy. It is anything but, and somehow you all do it with grace and humility and charm and humor that I've been blown away every time I tune in.
And we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and weeknights 5, 6, 9, and 10. Ray Cotopassi, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks for joining us, my friend. Appreciate it.